This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We urge you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper through his verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture. We pray that today's message is a great blessing to you.
Joseph finds joy in being a blessing, and that's what God's faithful people do. We said one of the purposes of our life is upward to worship God, but I really want to be a blessing to every person around me. I really, really want to do that. Sometimes it's through kind words, sometimes through action, sometimes through faithful service.
Here's Rich with an introduction for this week's message.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Genesis 39. The message is entitled, God's Smile Upon His Faithful. You know, if you're part of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God's love for you is unchanging, that He is ever faithful. And there are times in our life that we experience such deep trials and pain and suffering that Satan will whisper to us. He'll whisper thoughts like, God is not faithful to you. God doesn't love you anymore. God has set you aside. And I want you to know that all of those are lies that Satan intends to use to destroy us, to rob us of worship, to rob us of the help that the Lord would bring to us in times of suffering. You know, we don't have a high priest who's unsympathetic with our weaknesses. He's one who suffered as we are suffering, and yet he stands there for us, and he says, come to me, come to me. This message reminds us to let's lean into the Lord in the midst of our pain, and he will help us.
So again, God placed himself at the center of this drama whereby God is supplying salvation first to this fledgling nation, this young family, and then through this fledgling nation to the world. That's what's happening here in this story. And God is working through the single 17-year-old as his instrument to bring this about. But God is the one who is doing the work. This is how it always is for the child of God. We can never claim credit for the blessing of the Lord. We must not. Now, four times in this chapter is a little phrase, and it becomes the dominant phrase of this whole piece of the narrative. And that phrase is, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, the Lord was with Joseph. We go down to the end of the story. Verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, when the Lord repeats himself, it's for emphasis. It's not because he forgot that he said it earlier. It's always for emphasis. In other words, when the Lord repeats himself, he wants us to sit up, take notice. This is really, really important. In fact, I would say it's so important, it's central to your life. Whatever else is happening, the central thing is not, you know, will I get into this program? Will I get this promotion? The central thing is not, will we have more children or have children? Will I get married? Will this person say yes when I ask them on a date? That's not the central thing. The central thing is the Lord with me? Is the Lord with me? If the Lord is with us, then any hardship will work toward an amazing end to our story. If the Lord is not with us, then any blessing will work to a terrible misery at the end of the story. No talent, no skill, no hard work, no discipline will accomplish what the presence of the Lord can accomplish and only can accomplish. So I ask you again, take a moment and don't answer that quickly, but answer it thoughtfully. Is the Lord with me? Because the Lord was with Joseph in a way that he wasn't with his 10 older brothers. That doesn't mean the Lord didn't love his 10 older brothers or ultimately use his 10 older brothers. He did. But the Lord was with Joseph in a unique way. So how can we have the Lord with us? And there's a positive and a negative angle to that to think about. Positively, if the Lord is to be with us, we must trust him. We must place our faith in him, an act of faith, not a faith that we made a decision a long time ago, but an act of faith we wake up with and we feed each day. We must trust him. The Lord is with those who wholly lean upon him. Jeremiah 17:7 says this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. I love that. Blessed. You want a blessed life. You want the Lord to be with you. Well, trust in the Lord. And make your trust the Lord. The Lord's smiling presence is always a gift of grace. It's not a result of something we earn or merit. It's a result of something we've done. But the Lord delights to simply be with and to bless those who believe him, who are dependent upon him, who lean upon him in faith. So that's positively. Negatively, the Lord will be with us when we turn away from sin. So the Lord isn't with those who willfully, in commitment, disobey him. Obedience flows from faith. Obedience must not flow from our own flesh. It must flow from our belief in God, our trust in God. But obedience does flow from faith. So when we have faith, we believe what God says about his person, about our life. We believe what God says about sin. We believe what God says about its consequences. We believe what God says about our own flesh and about our future. And all those things give us power by God's grace to turn away from sin. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Isn't that a great picture? Again, God is describing himself in creaturely ways in order to help us understand his heart. It says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth." This is part of the earth, the sanctuary here. Can you sense the eyes of the Lord flowing, looking? And what is he looking for? He's looking to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him, toward those who trust him and obey him. He's looking, is there one? Because I want to give some. Every one of you that has come here today, God says, I want to give you strong support. Do you need the Lord's support in your life? God says, my heart is, I want to give you strong support. And I'm looking because I have all this cachet, this treasury of support to give. I'll never run out of the ability to support, no matter how many people there are. I want to give you strong support. But I'm looking for people whose hearts are blameless. In other words, whose hearts don't have these willful sins bound up and saying, I'm just going to walk away from you, God. I'm going to do things that defy you. I'm just going to live my own life. Friends, there is no sin that's worth forfeiting the smile of God. There's no sin. There's no lust, no earthly pleasure, no longing for wealth, no resentment over some wrongs that we've suffered, no selfish pursuit. Nothing is more important to the success of our life than the smiling presence of the Lord. Look at verse 5. And from the time that he made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was in all that Potiphar had, his house, his field, and so he left Joseph in charge. It is a unique opportunity for believers to bring blessing to unbelievers through our faithfulness to God. I know that unbelievers don't often appreciate any blessing that we might bring to them. Mr. Potiphar did, but often they don't. They don't see it. But it is a unique joy. It is a godlike character to bless those who are resistant to God. That's what God does in his love. He allows his sun to shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He sends rain upon the field of the righteous farmer and the field of the unrighteous farmer. And when he places God's faithful ones, if you're one of God's faithful, and he's placed you in a sphere to be a blessing to the unbelievers around you, whether that's in your workplace, your neighborhood, or an unbelieving family. One of the terrible, dark consequences of, and again, politics are important, don't get me wrong, but one of the terrible things that happen to a soul that gets wrapped in politics, we begin to see people who don't agree with our political stance as our enemies, instead of people who God calls us to come alongside and to bring his blessing. Now, Joseph had every reason to say, I don't care about blessing Potiphar. Who's Potiphar? He's an Egyptian who worships another god or many, many other gods. He's an unrighteous guy. He's a leader in a nation which I'm not a part. So what would I care? And he actually bought me. I'm a slave. So why would I care about any good come? And yet Joseph finds joy in being a blessing. And that's what God's faithful people do. We say one of the purposes of our life is upward to worship God. But I really want to be a blessing to every person around me. I really, really want to do that. Sometimes it's through kind words. Sometimes through action. Sometimes through faithful service. But as you think about your workplace and about your neighborhood, about your school and about your family, it's important to ask, am I receiving the fullness of joy of being a blessing from God? As God blesses me to be an instrument of blessing to even unbelievers? It's a good question. Joseph had that joy. Now the testing of the faithful. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. So why was Mrs. Potiphar so taken with Joseph? So she desired him. Why? Well, he says he was handsome, extremely good looking. You know, and again, it's right for us to observe ways which Satan and our flesh have doors into our hearts for temptation. Some of you have the burden, call it a burden, of being beautiful in face and form. You know, I don't believe that was ever a burden I had to bear. But some of you do. And spiritually, it's right for us to see, well, this is actually why, while there's some good things, I'm sure there's some good things that Joseph experienced, that's one of the reasons I think why he was hired, there's a spiritual burden, and we have to be ready then. If the Lord has given you beauty, it's right to say, I want to be very protective of those doors, because those are doors that Satan's going to use. Secondly, I think she was attracted to Joseph because he was extremely competent. Some of you have the burden of being extremely competent in what you do. Your expertise will bring some temptations into your life that others will never experience because you're so sharp, so skilled, so talented. But I think I think she was taken with Joseph because he was obedient to God. Those who walk in darkness often find a challenge in bringing temptation to those who walk in the light. Simply walking in the light, for many of those walking in darkness, there's resentment, anger, and desire to bring them out of the light and into the darkness with them. But he refused, verse 8, and he said to his master's wife, behold, because of my master has no concern about anything in the house, he's put everything that he has in my charge. He's not greater in this house than I am. He's kept back nothing from me except for you, because you're his wife. How could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph, he was ready for this fight. He didn't know it was going to come that day. We don't know when temptations are going to come, but we got to be ready because we know they are going to come. Some temptations in this world are absolutely unavoidable. Here's the truth of what Joseph said. Our greatest defense against sin is our love for and loyalty to God. Now, he was concerned about how his sin would impact Mr. Potiphar as well. But his greatest offense is he didn't want to sin against God, God who he knew to be faithful, God who he knew to be the blessed God. You know, we cannot love God and willfully sin at the same time. We have to choose between the two. Whom will we serve? May God give us faith to be loyal to the Lord, to love him in times of temptation. Look at verse 10. And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, it was just unending. She's wearing him down. He wouldn't listen to her. So he said, nope, not going to listen. He wouldn't lie beside her. No, I don't want to be close or to be with her. I'm not going to be in the house if I can avoid it. His job required him to be in the house sometime, but he tried to avoid all that. But one day when he went into the house to do his work and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by the garment and said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and he fled. He got out of the house. So Joseph overcame sin because he responded wisely to temptations. Now, I want to say this. If Joseph had succumbed to this temptation, what would have happened? We don't know exactly what would have happened. Maybe he'd gotten caught. Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he would have never got caught. But what we know is that the story wouldn't have ended the way it ended, with Joseph being second in command over all of Egypt, being able to provide food for himself and his family, to protect a family whom God has set apart to be the family that would bring redemption to the world. It would have impacted you and me. Just as Adam and Eve's sin in the garden impact you and me negatively, Joseph's obedience impacts you and me positively by being part of the redemptive story of God in bringing ultimately the Messiah into the world. So five strategies Joseph used to win. I'm just going to run through these quickly, but you can't hardly do this narrative of Joseph, you know, winning the battle against temptation without saying something about strategies to win against temptation. First, Joseph filled his mind with biblical truth about God and about sin. We know that because of his response. How could I do this great wickedness against you? And how could I sin against God? So he's thinking about biblical truth. He's filling his mind with who God is, what righteousness is, what life's about, what sin is. Secondly, Joseph resists Mrs. Potiphar's temptation with biblically sound arguments. He doesn't just say, well, you know, thank you for, you know, it's very flattering, but no thank you. You know, he doesn't say that. He actually takes biblical arguments, says this is why. Take biblical truth and bring it to an unbeliever on why he's going to stand firm in obedience. Third, Joseph refuses to listen to temptation's voice. In other words, he doesn't want to say, well, tell me more, though. I'm not going to do that, but tell me more about how handsome I am. Tell me more about how wonderful I am. He doesn't do that. Joseph avoids temptation as much as possible. In other words, he tries to stay out of the house. He tries to stay out of Mrs. Potiphar's presence. Joseph doesn't say, hey, I can handle this. You know, I can stand firm. You know, one thing about temptation is many believers say, I want to avoid sin, but I like the warmth that temptation brings me. And so we step closer to the fire of temptation, thinking, I just want to get warm. I'll stay in here in this area of temptation, but I'm not going to jump in the fire. But we don't know the ground around the fire of temptation is unstable. And we get close and pretty soon break and we're in the middle of the fire. And Joseph said, you know what? Here's the temptation. As much as possible, I'm going to stay far from it. And doesn't Jesus teach us, saying, here's how you pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. So if we're taking pleasure out of the joy of temptation itself, not the joy of sin, but the joy of being tempted, we're outside of the strategy that's successful. Finally, Joseph physically fled in order to overcome the temptation. He got serious. I'm getting out of here. And he had to leave his coat. So we see then that Mrs. Potiphar lies. Mrs. Potiphar makes up a story, accuses Joseph. Mr. Potiphar seems like he believes her. He seems genuinely angry. You notice how she even blames her husband. You brought this Hebrew slave in, you know. So it's filled with sort of a kind of racism, this Hebrew slave, you know, and you brought in, blaming. All the while, there's a real story underneath that we know. Mr. Potiphar gets really angry, throws him into prison. Most commentators think that he didn't totally believe his wife, because if he believed his wife, he'd have Joseph executed instead of thrown in prison. But he has Joseph thrown in prison. Now the triumph of the faithful. So verse 21, the Lord is with Joseph. And notice this, and he showed him steadfast love and gave him favor. Steadfast love. His love never left Joseph. I'm convinced of this, brothers and sisters, that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor principalities, nothing in heaven above, nothing on earth below will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm convinced of that. And Joseph was too, and there's a triumph here, because now, it's interesting, so he gets a slave, Mr. Potiphar raises him, you know, second in command. He goes thrown in prison, the prison, you know, leader, commander, makes him second in command. Now, later he's going to go get placed in Pharaoh's court, and he's going to be second in command. We see this rise and fall, and with God's people, there are often rise and fall, but with God's people, the end always is an end of triumph, always is an end of triumph. The tribulations that are brought on by Mrs. Potiphar here are not ultimate. The tribulation brought on by Joseph's brothers are not ultimate. Joseph knows that. What's ultimate? God is ultimate. That's why it's so vital that we live a life where God is with us, because I'm convinced of this, that if God is for us, who could possibly be against us? Who could possibly be against us? We're more than conquerors through faith in Jesus. More than conquerors. So Joseph all the while kept God's loving plan in mind in the midst of the dark times in prison. And it's the knowledge of God's faithfulness that gives him strength to endure, to persevere, to survive. Peace of heart comes not through changed circumstances, but through an activated faith in God. So here's Joseph. He teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight, but more, more than this, because he teaches such instructive, practical lesson, but more than this, you know, why is the story here in God's Word? Why did God include it? More than helping us learn how to walk through trials by faith, and that's a key and central theme, Joseph points our attention to one greater than himself who will do more for us than Joseph does. And that person is the Messiah, who's part of this family line, this family that's going to be preserved because Joseph was faithful right here. Like Joseph, think of the parallels, like Joseph, Jesus came to his own to bring a blessing. So Jesus, God's son, came in carnal. Why? To bring a blessing to his brothers, to his own people. Like Joseph, his brothers despised him. His brothers did not accept him. His brothers forsook him when he came. Like Joseph, Jesus was sold by someone whom he cared about and loved. Like Joseph, Jesus was tempted sorely by the devil to disrupt God's plan. Like Joseph, Jesus was unjustly accused of sin, of great wickedness. And like Joseph, Jesus was unjustly condemned. Like Joseph, Jesus set the joy of his future reward upon his heart, and he persevered all the way to the end. He completed the work. And like Joseph, Jesus was ultimately exalted and will be exalted. Hebrews says this, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." Let us hold fast our confession. I would ask you, do you have a confession of faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Joseph is pointing us to Jesus, who would make the ultimate sacrifice for us, die in our place. And Hebrews says, so therefore, since God has given us this one, let's hold fast to the confession of our faith. So do you first have a confession? Nothing in life will be meaningful if God is not with you. And how can God be with you? By taking upon Jesus, whose name is Emmanuel, whose name means God with us. So I urge you, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to him. He invites you to come to him today. But for those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, you know, the book of Hebrews says, let us hold fast to our confession. In other words, we're tempted to let go, tempted by this world, tempted by discouragements, tempted by our weakness and feebleness to step back and let go of this confession as being active and lively every day. And I want you to ask you, are you holding fast? May the Lord be with you.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. As we've been thinking of this theme of suffering and deep trials that are so painful, my heart is praying for you today. My heart prays for everyone who is listening, who may be experiencing the kind of trials that are life-changing and that are so difficult that it seems like they're just dragging you down into darkness. But we pray that as you listen to God's word, you will be filled with hope, that you will direct your heart upward to the Lord. You know, Satan wants to use our trials to move us away from him, to doubt him, to become angry at him, to move away from him. And the Lord is tenderly calling us, trust me, trust me. We have a resource we'd like to offer you, a book by Jerry Bridges that's been used in my life and so many, especially as we endure some times of trials, and it's simply called Trusting God. If you would like for us to send you that book, please contact us through our website. We would pray that this would be a resource that God would use to bring peace and help to you.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church. Sake.